Second John, which is the one of the shortest books in the Bible, Second John, and it's verse 1 to 3. If you don't have a Bible, put up your hand, and our usher will pass you a Bible. Second John is the third last book on the Bible. So, go to Revelation and go two books beforehand before you. Okay. So you say here, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Let's just have a quick prayer before I share the message. Lord, I'll just come humbly before you and ask you to pour out your anointing and your word through my mouth. And I just pray that, you know, when the word are being preached, God, that you also bless our brother and sister with spiritual ears open, because you say that for those who have ears will listen. And I just ask that, you know, open our ears so that the message come into our heart and you will multiply. You will bear fruit 100-fold. Thank you for being with us, and Holy Spirit, just continue to guide us throughout this worship service. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I mentioned, we're going to kickstart the women conference or women retreat, and you probably know, like, from our weekly announcement, the title or the theme of our women's retreat is Journeying Together. So I'm going to title my message is Journeying Together in Truth and Love, because in essence, this is the Second John, the book of Second John, talk about is living in truth and love. And some of you might know that I have been away for almost like a month because my sister gave birth to a second baby. It's a girl, it's really beautiful, sleep all the time. But baby is funny animal, right? So they sleep during the day, but they wake up at night, and it's cause, you know, the family lack of sleep and all this stuff. And I also have a little nephew as well. So I went home to actually basically do all the household work, wash the dishes, do the laundry for my sister while my mom is cooking. Because for those Chinese, you know that you're housebound for a month, and for some tradition, you're not supposed to wash your hair. So it's pretty scary. So my sister did wash her hair once a week. It's still very bad for her. But anyway, so I come back, and I do say that I do miss SP, and you know, every time I come back, I see new faces, and I'm really excited because it means that our church are growing and more people are, you know, joining our family. And so this morning, I chew this particular message, and I want to read it out again to you as a greeting, a special greeting from me to you to show my love. And so I just will read the passage again, but it's just directed like a blessing, opening blessing to you guys. It says, to the chosen ladies, and a bracket for gentlemen, and your children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also us who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abide in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace will be with us from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in truth and love. You know, just by me reading it out, a couple words really stand out, the truth and love. It's really is the foundation of our faith. You know, here, you know, John, he is writing to ladies. One of the reasons I'm so convicted for this particular message is journeying together in truth and in love, and also, you know, to kickstart with Second John, is because this is the book, the one and only book that actually addressed to a lady, us. but I mean, of course, we put in the historical context. John is under a lot of persecution during that time, so it's possible that he's writing a letter in cold, meaning that he's actually writing to a church, because very often church is being referred to the bride of Jesus Christ, and the congregation is the spiritual child and children. So it could be that, you know, he is actually writing a letter to a church community. In fact, Pastor Sam, last Friday, EMP, he also preached on Second John as well. And his interpretation is that actually John is writing to a particular lady in faith and to the family, to her children. And here we can understand as could be, you know, children from blood, but also it could be spiritual children as well. And And here, I take it as, you know, we are journeying together. The question I first ask myself, where are we going? Do we know where we're going in this journey? As a congregation, as a Christian together, we are heading somewhere. Because, you know, if you look at the different books, like particularly Paul, when he write, he always talk about on the journey. He say running the race, finishing the course. So we are heading somewhere. Where are we heading? And on what path are we heading? And I think to answer that, we really have to know the truth. Because without the truth, we can go in all different directions. As you can see in the world, people go to different religions. And we know that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. He is the only personal Savior where you will have eternal life if you invite Him into your life and follow hard after Him. And that's the thing that John is very emphasizing in the second John. If you go down, if you can go down with me a little bit to verse 7 onwards, to 7 to 11. Easy to remember, 7-11. So here they talk about, for many deceivers has gone into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourself that you do not lose what you have accomplished, but you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participate in evil deed. What is John particularly refer to the two very important truths in our Christian faith? Well, one particular one. He is talking about in verse 7. He is talking about some of the people do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in flesh. Why is it so important for us to know that Jesus Christ is a man? He come in have 33 years, on earth, that as a man, why is this important to our faith? Actually, you know, in the old days, you know, when we talk about, you know, when you do something wrong, when you sin, there is a penalty, a price to pay. And in the book of Romans, it talk about that when we sin, the price is death. So the penalty you have give in the old days for a full redemption, if you hit someone on the, what they say, an eye for an eye, an arm for an arm. So if you hurt someone in the eyes, you repay with another eye. And so you hear that the penalty of sin is death. So you need to repay it with death. Someone have to die. So before Jesus Christ, we know that, you know, initially men do not have a limitation on how long they live on earth. But because they sin, there is a death sentence at the end. So there is a time that we experience this physical death. And we also know in the Bible that, you know, if after the physical death, there will come a time and a judgment time. And for those that who have Jesus Christ in their life, accepted, believed in Jesus Christ, they will have eternal life. The reason being because Jesus on the cross, we pay that price. So instead of like die a spiritual death, we, by accepting Jesus Christ into our life, we have this life again, the eternal life. Start from the day that we have salvation, start from the day that we invite Jesus Christ into our life. And a lot of time I want to emphasize, salvation is not a point, but it's a journey. What I'm saying is that it's not because simply you say a sinner prayer or you just, you know, last week I know Pastor O in the second service talked about the sinner salvations. It's not just like on this point and say, okay, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. And from now on, I follow you. That is not just that point, but it's a journey. A salvation, the fullness of salvations is that our everyday walk. When we walk with God, when we experience the living life that God has given us as a Christians. So for example, we pray, we face difficult time, we have a lot of trouble in our heart, and we pray, and that peace that beyond our understanding, transcend all our understanding, come to our heart. And you have the comfort. And you have the faith as you, different situations. Sometimes you ask for wisdom and God give you wisdom. I don't know whether you have experience, but I do. Sometimes I write things and I responded in a way that when I look back, it's like, oh, how did I do it? I don't think I'm smart, but I'm not that smart. But how did I do it? And you must give thanks to God and give credit to God, because He, at that point, intervened in your life and guide you, because we ask for guidance. In the book of James says that if you ask for wisdom, He will give you wisdom. And is this journey continue? It's a walking, developing your relationship. For example, you read the Bible and you can read it 10 times, but without the Holy Spirit, it just word. But suddenly it's enlightening, an enlightenment that is come into your life, and suddenly you reflect on your daily life and you realize, oh, I can be better. I can live a life that is more joy and peace, regardless the circumstances. And these are the beautiful experience that when you walk with God, this is the fullness of salvation. It's not just that point of being transformed or sin being forgiven, but it's this journeying on together with God that we experience the fullness of salvation. So I would say that salvation starts from the time that when Jesus gives us the invitation, say, join our kingdom, join me, and we say yes to Him. But this life go on, and the presence of God continue in our life. And this is very important, particularly in John's time, because there are different teachings at the time. And from the very outset, in verse 7, we see that deceiver. These deceivers, like, they are not atheists. They actually in the church community. But they share about different understanding. As we know, like, you know, church, if we look around, you know, even churches in Hong Kong, different denomination, and they all believe in Jesus Christ. They, if you show them the Apostle Creed, even the Catholic Church, you show them the Apostle Creed, this is what we believe in. But yet, at the same time, there's different theologies coming in and causing disruption, causing church split because of the different understanding. And it is so important that we know that is what is truth, so that when those challenging questions coming to us, we know how to discern, how to really distinguish the truth and the lies. And one example that, you know, if those who have done EG in the EG book talk about in Canada, the banking system, to teach a teller how to know what is a counterfeit, you don't show them false money, like the counterfeit money, but you show them enough. They look at the real money day in and day out, and so by the touch, by the look, they already know what is real. And then when the counterfeit come in, you can immediately say, this is not right. And this is exactly that we need to anchor ourselves in the truth. And this is what also that is being taught by John in this particular message. He say that we need to anchor and be aware of false teaching, and we need to hold tight to the knowledge, the truth. Because otherwise, we don't know where we're heading. We're just going different directions. But we proclaim that we are Christians. And so the other thing that going back to the first point is like give you a bit more background is that at the time they are the Gnostic teaching. Basically, they were saying that, you know, when Jesus, you know, when the baptism of the water in the river by John the Baptist, John the Baptist, that that, you know, we know that it's water baptism, and also the dove come down is the spirit, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. And there were false teaching at the time and saying that, you know, from that point onward, that when Jesus was doing ministry, he actually is not a human. And to the point until he died on the cross, then he's human again. So to explain that all the miracle that happened in that 3 years of his ministry. And, you know, if you do not know the you know, if you are not being anchored in the faith, and someone bringing this teaching to you, especially new Christians, you have nowhere to distinguish. And so time and time again, we go back to the book of the Bible. And for us, we do, you know, various ways that we can, you know, be anchor our faith in the truth. If one, like, you know, listen to a sermon, but also we also have to develop our own way of eating the spiritual food ourselves by studying the Bible as well. And so that is, you know, day in and day out when we are saturated, meditate on the Word of God, they come alive in us, and also we know that Holy Spirit in us will teach us. And so here that John is emphasizing, because it is so easy for us to lose focus and to taking away our focus and all this. And this week, if you look at the bulletin, can you pick this picture for us? It's a black and white in a gray world. I think, you know, even, like, you know, after we become a Christian, we come into, like, you know, questions, like difficult questions, ethical questions, and we may not have an answer, but then we have a source, the Bible, to go to. This last holiday, I went back home, and my sister-in-law, she's not a Christian, but I heard about Jesus, thinking about going to church, so I'm praying hard that, you know, indeed she will start going, then my brother can go, and, you know, gradually the whole family will come to know Jesus, because I know it's so much more fun, so much more life is in Jesus Christ, and I want the best for my family. And she asked me, hey, your church, does it endorse gay marriage? And then I have a discussion with Janella this week as well. What is our positions on gay marriage and all this stuff? So I'm not giving you an answer, but I have my positions. But the thing is that we will make friends with people, like, who are, you know, a different sexual preference. And they're really nice people. We will meet friends with people of different religion. They are Buddhists or others. And even you hear comment, they're so much more better as a person than a Christians. And for those moments, you just, it's hard, isn't it? That you love your friend and you know that you're walking in the truth. You believe what you believe in, but these are the people that are choosing a different path. And in a way that we need also to know that we are not being crowded by emotion. And that's why I would cover more next week. It's about the truth and love. Basically, that John here, if you look at the three little beginning verses, he's talking about that us, our church, is to love one another in truth, but we also have to hold the truth in love. So we have to know the truth, we have to read the Bible, and there's many commentary, you can take your position. We know that ultimately we live to love the person, but loving, but, you know, at the same time, how to love, it's not easy. You need effort to do it. So we cover more about that next week. But for this week, we want to hold on to what is truth. So the question then is how to find, you know, how to be, you know, soaking in the truth, what to do. And I want to, you know, refer to this parable in the book of Matthew, talking about the soil and the sowing the seed. Basically, Jesus was talking in parable. And he said that, you know, a farmer going to farm, and he was just sowing seed anywhere. And some seed fall on the hard pavement. Some seed go into the shallow soil. Some go into a land where there is a lot of thorn and fertile ground. So when you sow the seed, if you look at the agriculture, I think if you been to the, you know, Jerusalem and all this, you know that there are a lot of hill agriculture things. So this is like by, what do you call that? I don't know, like a stair, like little stairs. So when you sow the seed, some actually go to the pavement, some actually go to a shallow soil. And it was talking about, you know, for those seeds that go onto the pavement with, like, concrete, whatever, that a stone path that doesn't have any soil, it doesn't grow, and the bird will come and take away the seed. And the second type of soil is shallow, so it grows a little bit, but it dies. It have no depth. And the third type is, like, it can grow in bosom, but then there's a lot of thorn choking it, and it's talking about the things of the world choking it, conflicting, you know, values that of the world that you cannot give up, for example, and that choking your faith, and you're not growing full grown. And there is this fertile soil, you bear fruit 30, 60, and 90 times. And one thing that I got from there is that every one of us, not just like people standing on the pulpit, but every one of you are called for our purposes. We are on a journey together. We are called by God and we are chosen by God. If you look at this particular passage from the very beginning, John was so clear. He said that chosen lady. We are chosen for a purpose. And one of the main purposes is that when God saves us, we experience His God's love. We experience the transformation in our life. We experience the power of authority God given in us. We have to minister to the people around us. So you and I are called to share the gospel. So to sow the gospel. But once we sow the gospel, it's not on us, because our duty is to sow it, whoever. No distinctions. Whatever soil, of course we want to see fruit. We want to sow more on the fertile ground. But here, Jesus is teaching us that there is no distinctions. Everyone, He loves everyone, and He wants us to share the message. It's not whether the person is more teachable, more receiving or not. Everyone, we have to share the gospel with them. Because we know that if we truly say that we love that person, the best gift to give to the person is Jesus. And so this is like talk about sowing. But he also talked about the four different soil. It's about listening, how we listen for word, the word of God. I want to share this little experience that I have in terms of my spiritual walk. I didn't come to Christ until much later. And my very first, you know, on stage musical that I watched is actually Les Mis. And those who seen the movie last year, some say Russell Crowe is a terrible singer, and he's terrible. But by the end of it, I can't stand his voice. But putting that aside, I love that musical, but I wasn't a Christian back then. And I remember back in the older days, we have cassette. So I will have, and there's no, you know, copyright or whatever, right? Back then, wasn't that a big thing? So obviously, I dubbed the tape and I listened to it almost every day and I sing. I love the music. But to be honest, do I know what the song is talking about? I have no idea. Why? It's not that I do not understand English. I understand the word, but it's the spiritual hearing. You know, in the passage, in the Bible, so many times, say, those who have ears hear my word. But he also mentioned in other part of the Bible, it's like sometimes when you shout out, you yell, or whatever you do, whatever, share the message, it's falling to deaf ears. It's about spiritual hearing. And it's only, you know, this time I was on my way back from Sydney to Hong Kong, I was watching four movies, and one of them is Les Mis, and I was, they have subtitles even better, because a musical sometimes is beautiful song, but then, you one year coming out and next, and you do not grab the full meaning. But when you're having a visual in front of you, then you have the people acting and also the subtitle, the message becomes so much clearer that way. And so I was looking at it and I was shocked to myself. It's like the whole thing is so Christians, and I didn't even realize when I was 17, when I was listening day and night, I just loved the music and that's it. And I didn't receive anything in my life. And this is exactly a lot of time, come Sunday service, sometime, going to different conferences, we are overloaded with information. And so you might sit through a service, sit through a message, and say, a lot of nice joke, fun, and then you walk out of the sanctuary, nothing stick to you. And that is, what can we do about it? I think the number one thing that we can do about it is before you go to the sanctuary or you prepare your heart, you ask God and say, let the word stick in me. And the other thing that I'm thinking, that what else can we make the word of God stick in us? You know, going to house church, we have sermon discussion. It helps to stick because we start talk about it. So it would be good that, we have like accountability or sister, brother in Christ, that you can talk about God's word. Because I know that God works 24 hours a day. We don't, but He does. And He will speak to us through different circumstances. Maybe this challenge that we face, He is teaching us something about His faith, about His faithfulness. And I believe that, He speaks to us. But the thing is that sometimes we're too tired, too busy, too many, like the seed that go into the fertile land, but then it's choked by the things of the world. That choking them, that take them away for the attentions. You know, my 4 weeks in Sydney is, I would describe it being very relaxed, very enjoyable. Yes, I wash all the dishes for my family, but I usually don't. But anyway, so I was looking at my sister life, my family life. My sister and my brother-in-law go to Sunday church on Sunday, but they are not, I would call it, a practicing Christians. They go to Sunday service. I mean, for me, it's a big jump already from someone who doesn't go to church, and then they start going to church. It's already a big jump for me. I was excited already. But then when I look at it, they still have not really tapped into the fullness of God, to tap into the full benefits that come from it, having a relationship with God. And I look at, you know, my life in Sydney, like the 4 weeks, relaxing, grocery shopping, doing this and that. I can go about a day, to be honest with you guys, that without God. I can wake up, play with the kids, and then lunch, and then play with the kids and do different things and all this. And then your day gone, and there might be not even a moment of time that I think about God. But because I have to speak today and also, you know, next week, so this thing come back in my mind. It's like, what message to preach God? And so it kind of reminded me about God. But without that conference looming coming ahead that I need to prepare, I can go easily a day or weeks without God. Even though, I mean, I'm a pastor, you know, supposed to be so spiritual, but there can be like that. It's so easy when we have a comfortable life that there's not much challenge. You know, if there is work challenge, you can rely on God. But then these things are too comfortable and too many, like, you know, different things. So this is the warning also that we have, when we say that Jesus Christ come, and he take the form of man, and he save us. Can we really take that calling into us? The question is then how we actually live a life. Because for the word to really stick into you, not just hearing, not just praying, but applying in your life. Because when you start thinking about God in the morning, I have been reading a book, something I started with the title, about 24 Hours. I forgot the rest of the title because it's 24 hours. But basically, the pastor in that book wrote is talk about how you can actually, when you wake up in the morning, the alarm clock glow in, the first thing, when your eyes open, you think about God. Good morning, God. A simple greeting from God is an acknowledgement from God. Then you start building, having a life, having God being a real person in your life. And talk about, you know, salvation being our calling, our upward calling from God. How we can really take that to heart, cultivate our heart with this, you know, calling that God gave us. By, you know, the author talk about, you know, even when you read a newspaper, you look at the world, like a lot of time, you know, newspaper have a lot of sad news. And like war here, bombing here, that and this and that. And, you know, a lot of time we are desensitized. This happens every day. I mean, it's so exciting to see anyway because it's so sad. And the thing is that when you look at that, then start asking God, what is his view on this? How I can pray for that country? How I can pray by responding through reading? Not just the reading newspaper and yet knowledge come in, but really how I can truly live out that calling that God gave us, that we are to share the gospel, we are to bring salvation to the nations. And one step is like reading simply by reading a newspaper and respond by praying about it. And it's so true. And a lot of time it goes to the heart too, because our heart becomes so cold and because it happens every day, you know. And so we are, just on a side note, we have a prayer meeting for missions every Sunday. Today is actually praying for China. So if you have a heart for China, let's go back at the back room, Noah's Ark room on the next to the coffee bar, that we actually come together and pray for the country. And it is starting from a small step. Start including God into your life. And that's how you get to have that spiritual hearing. Because when you apply in your life and you know it works, so the next time when crisis come or when challenges come or even when good things come, you remember to say thanks to God. You remember to give glory to God and you include God in your picture. And as you develop that practice, then God become more real to you and become part of you. In fact, if you look at the greeting from John, you know, that particular part on verse 3, it talk about grace, mercy, and peace will be with you. If you look at different letters from Paul, and you will see grace and you will see peace. And we quickly just, you know, dismiss it because it's a greeting. And we don't do it in modern day. But you wonder why they utter those three words. And one of the insights that I gather is that sometimes that the word of God is so into you that it just comes naturally. The theology is so ingrained in you that you will put in certain work in your speech, in your everyday conversations. And so in this particular greeting, if I can just take these three words, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace is quite often defined as undeserved love from God. We don't deserve His love. And it talk about, you know, that the grace that He given us is we don't deserve that grace. It talk about love. Mercy here is the idea of God's faithfulness. This faithfulness come with is a covenant. When we invite Jesus into our life, and when we every Sunday, first Sunday, we come together with communion, we will say that this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Jesus, which represents the covenant, the new covenant that He made with you. And this covenant signifies the faithfulness that because that we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that He promised to stay truthful no matter what. We can be faithless, but He will remain faithful because He is true to His word. And so the word mercy really is talking about God's faithfulness. It talks about that this covenantal relationship. And you talk about this mercy, talk about forgiveness. Because, you know, that He promised to be faithful. That no matter how many times that we stumble and stumble and stumble, as long as it's a true repentance, we say, God, that I'm so sorry and I will try my very best. Next time, don't do it again. And even though we still stumble, because it gets better by the end of it, hopefully, but it's this faithfulness saying that, yes, I will still forgive you. And so even like, you know, you can see John, like in three little words, it talk about our faith. It talk about the truth. We talk about what we believe in. And finally, peace, shalom. Shalom is not just peaceful feeling, but it talk about wholeness, completeness. We'll talk about that. I was talking about early on about reaping the fullness of salvation. This is the wholeness that we can get for our life. And so in simply, you know, three words, that John packed it in, what we believe in. We believe that He's a merciful God, He's a God of love, and He's a God of peace. And this is how we can actually incorporate in our language. So I know that, you know, sometimes you have Christians that like always talk about God at their mouth, it's like too much. But then obviously we have to do it with wisdom. But then sometimes we're too afraid to talk about God. God has so much to offer, but sometimes we are so worried to offend the friends that we have relationship with, because like religion is the most nasty topic that you can come into in any conversations. But at the end of the day, that I think John talking about that the truth is anchored in that love. If we truly love the person, at some point of time, we have to speak the truth. And the truth come in is a daily practice. It's daily ingrained in our life. So let's start, you know, taking it in for us, you know, by having what I just shared, like by thinking about God and really thinking through what does it mean by I'm safe? What does it mean by the calling that we are to share God's love? What does it mean in more concrete term? And by doing that, reflecting and putting into exercise, your faith strengthened and your knowledge of the truth strengthened. And definitely, I won't, you know, there's a lot of teaching in the Bible. You probably heard about, you know, people describe the Bible as a blueprint for our life. we are designed by God, we are created by God, and this is the book who tell us what is the truth, what is the right, what is the wrong. Maybe, you know, each situation is not as black and white. If you look at, you know, some people ask me, you know, if there's a red light, will you cross a red light? And my answer to the person is that if there is no one around, there's no one, clearly no one around, and there is this red light, I will cross it. Because the law is being created to protect people. And if there's no one to be harmed, then do I bound by that law? Question mark, right? For me, I would cross that red light. Same way, if you look at Jesus, when he healed people on the Sabbath day, he is breaching the law. Because God called us to rest on that day, but yet he chose to heal people. And so it seems to be there's a contradicting truth in it, but who is overriding? And we need to make that judgment. And that judgment is based on the truth. And the truth is in the Bible. But a lot of time is that we are not so anchored in our Bible that we do not know what God taught us. And so then what we rely on is our own humanistic understanding, our own judgment. Because we, you know, as a grown person, go through life, you know, could very competent in your work, you can make decision without God. But then there is a difference of making a decision with God in your decisions. So to end the message today, since I watched Les Mis and I sing about this almost every day when I was 17, I'm going to show you a clip. It's the end of it. And I watched this movie like on the plane the whole time. It's only come to that point I cry. Not because, you know, basically... let me show you the clip first, and then I'll share why I cry. So, it's the finale of that movie.
Take my hand, I'll lead you to salvation. Take my love, for love is everlasting.
And remember the truth that once was spoken. To love another person is to see the face of
I start crying from the point when she said, when they take my hand and lead me to salvation, take my love, for the love is everlasting. When Fantine was singing it, but it felt like Jesus was singing to us. He is singing to not just those who have not believed in Christ, yes, but also speaking to us. You know, when we talk about salvation, it's not the point that say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. It's this journey, always saying yes to God. And it's just, you know, putting in a picture is Jesus talking to us and say, take my hand. And he lead us into salvation, the fullness of salvation. Take my love, for the love is everlasting. And the truth was once spoken, to love another is to see the face of God. We cover that, the love part next week, but it is truth. The truth is that we have to love other people, and that we are seeing the face of God. It's in the Bible. The Bible says that if you serve the poor, the needy, the privileged, the marginalized, the prisoner, you are serving the Lord. You are loving the Lord. And one reality is that we are in a battle. I used to do outreach when I in Mong Kok. It's called Morning Light Outreach, long time ago. And basically, back then, there's still disco in Hong Kong. And so the kids would go to disco, you know, they go, you know, after 12, and then hang out. And our team will stay in a local park at 4 o'clock. Because police, what they do is that, you know, apparently, the disco people will roll out trolleys of drugs. First, free for them to take. And once you get them hooked onto it, they start paying for it. And within 2 months, a very happy child, like healthy child, would turn into like a ghost almost, because drug really destroyed them. And so the police would come and raid the hotel, the disco, because they are underage. So all the underage youth will come down to the park, and we will give them water, and we start making friends with them. And hopefully, you know, to take them away from this temptation of drugs, temptation of peers, pressures. And so this is the ministry that we go in, and sometimes we get to talk to them. And I think for me, the most impactful time that I ever had was the first time when I down. I went down and I was new, so I don't have to do much. So I just stand by next to this guy who used to do it every week. And usually weekend, so we go Saturday really early in the morning, 4 o'clock, to go to Mong Kok. We were talking to this young boy, and he was, you know, telling us that he just, you know, started following a Big Brother, which is like a triad gang. So they, the triad, they call it like, no, Big Brother, whatever. And so he was telling us that, you know, the Big Brother will give him drugs every now and then. And so we were talking to him, and, you know, the best scenario is that we get his phone number. But usually they don't give their phone number. So we get the whole phone number, then we can follow up during the week. And so as we are talking and about to, like, you know, good conversations, and suddenly this guy, dyed hair, like blonde, you know, the Big Brother image, really the Big Brother image. And it's so vivid. He just grabbed one hand and grabbed him and take him away from us. Literally grabbing it and took him away. You know, like when you do outreach, you see something like that, you go, okay, that happened. So bad, you can't make contact with them. But I think one valuable thing to do is like debriefing and prayer time after the outreach, because then you reflect more. And so when we share, and suddenly that image come in, it's like the ego coming down, this is the prey, and I'm coming to grab it and take it away from us. And it's beyond us, we can't catch it. And I feel sad because that been taken away. No, we don't know whether we will meet him again next week. And so I share that, you know, these pictures about, you know, the Bible say that the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy. And this is, an enemy is like a roaring lion seeking to pounce on you anytime, any moment that you do not you are not aware of. And so it is a very vivid picture that I have. So we come together and we pray for that little young boy, the young boy. And in the midst of our prayer, suddenly the brother who went with me received a phone call from these kids. And he, that day, the Big Brother gave him 3 times the dose, extra bonus for him, 3 times the dose of the drug. So he's right, you know, high and disillusioned and all this, but in the midst of our praying, God breakthrough. And he remembered my brother. Because before he left, my brother actually gave him a name card. For some reason, who is on drugs 3 times the usual dose would thought about this brother, thought about this name card. And he even gave us his home number. Usually kids do not give them the home number during those days. And the fact that God intervened when we pray, that showed me a very vivid picture of battlefields. We are out there fighting. You know, as I shared early on, you know, my life in Australia is laid back, comfortable. We forgot about God. You all probably heard about, you know, boiling a frog alive in water, that they don't feel it because they are cold-blooded. So you put a frog alive in a boiling water, they will be cold without knowing it. That's exactly the same thing happened in the people around us. We live a comfortable life. They could be professional or could be different capacity, but with a degree that they do not know. They do not need to know God. Almost feel like they do not need. We know they need God because so much more is in God. But then they do not know, and they are basically cooking alive without knowing what they are missing out, and that's a battlefield out there. And so, you know, as the lyric is said, calling us, is that, will you join the crusade? When I was so touched by this song, it's because there is a future, there is a hope, there is salvation. And the song lyric, if I may read it out, is like, for the wrench of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. It talks about eternal hell. That for those who do not know Christ, when the judgment day comes, they are burning in hell. Do we want that for the people that we know or we love? We don't. And so it's a battle out there, and we need to do something about it. The very first step, pray for them. But before that is to get God to stir our hearts so that we can start praying for these people. And before that is to have that mission or that heart of mission that is in you to start having sowing seed in us so that it will bear fruit 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. And so, you know, I just want to close off with, you know, for those that, you know, if you do not know Christ, I want to invite you, to, you know, to pray, you know, to think about it. And if you, you know, want to know about Jesus and why it is so important, you can come up afterwards and talk to me. For those that, you know, we Christians, let's ask God to show us how we can truly live out that fullness that he have called us to. How we can live up the what Paul had described is an upward calling from God. How we can live that out. So let's just journey together. So if I can have the worship team come up, we just spend a bit of time and just really ask, are we on a crusade together? If not, how we can join? One thing about the movie is also that the last scene when they're like the flag, they're firing flag and all these people that's on look like in war and all these people show on that screen are dead people who are dying in that revolutions. They are dying for justice. They're dying for the poor and the oppressed. And when we see at the end is that we will one day join Jesus. We come alive. We have eternal life and celebrating just like that. In the clip, that waving our flag, our banner, because tomorrow come, there is hope, there is life that we are celebrating. So this is the amazing thing that God offered to us. Let's pray for those that who do not have that amazing promise and hope.
Give ourselves no rest till your kingdom comes on earth. We position watchmen on the walls. And our prayers will flow like tears, for you shed your heart with us. Out of heaven, on knees we come down in power. Reveal your heart again. Come here, all cries, the tears that plead for rain. We're knocking, knocking on the door of heaven. We're crying, crying for this generation. We're praying for your name to be known in all of the earth. We're watching, watching on the walls to see you. We're looking, looking for a time of breakthrough. We're praying for your word to bear fruit in all of the earth, in all of the earth.
Let's stand and just sing this song once again. Make it our prayer, our commitment to God, and our cry for the nations.
We will give ourselves no rest till your kingdom comes on earth. We position watchmen on the walls. Now our tears will flow like tears, for you shared your heart with us. And God of heaven, on our knees we fall. Come down in power, reveal your heart again. Tears that plead for rain. We're knocking, knocking on the door of heaven. We're crying, crying for this generation. We're praying for your name to be known in all of the earth. We're watching, watching on the walls to see you. We're looking, looking for a time of breakthrough. We're praying for your word to bear fruit in all of the earth, all of the earth, all of the
God, I'm just really thankful, God, for your reminder this morning, God. Reminder that each one of us here is chosen by you, God. We are chosen by you for this upward calling that you have given us. God, that thank you for giving us salvation. The fullness of salvation is up to our taking only if we are willing. Willing to obey every little step that you have guide us. Holy Spirit, just ask that continue to guide us through. You know, for those that who have been in autopilot mode for a while, God, just, you know, I don't know, incident, whatever, to jack us back into a position of alert, God, because you call us to be alert all the time, to be aware of the spiritual environment around us, God, to pour out your compassion over us so that when we look at our colleagues, our people, or even our neighbor that we don't talk to, God, that show us how much you love them. Stir our hearts so that we can start at least praying for them, and then give us courage and boldness to take the next step to start caring for them, to start making relationship, because you are a God of reconciliation. You are a God who builds relationship, God. And you call us to journey together in truth and in love, God. So to close us for our worship service, I would like to use verse 3 as our benedictions. May the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the peace of God will be with us. And this grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Amen. So we have refreshment at the back. You know, just enjoy your fellowship afterwards. And 12:30, if you stay back, we have a prayer meeting for China. So if you have a heart for China, let's get together and pray for these nations.